and welcome. This is Trials and Tribulations. I'm Phil Airy, and I've got my two cohorts,
Sarah Owen Hughes
and me, Faith Douglas. Okay, so I am here at the lovely Deer Shed Festival with Jessica Herbert from Askham-Bryan College. And Jessica has been doing some quite exciting stuff at the Deer Shed Festival, mainly tree climbing. Will you tell me about what on earth you've been doing with the public and indeed small children?
Yeah, sure. So we do tree climbing with members of the public. We try to encourage entire families to go up the trees, but often it's the children that really want to go. It takes a little bit of banter to get some of the parents involved, but basically we set up the trees with climbing lines, usually a couple of days before, so that there are good anchor points in the tree, there are bells for them to climb to so that they can ding the bell and do something exciting or have a target, if you like. We invite students and ex-students of Askham-Bryan College, friends, colleagues, etc. To come along and help children climb trees. So we've got quite a big team of people, mostly tree climbers, but some not... I was going to say hangers-on. They're not hangers-on. Because they... you could say that. Sometimes they're the partner of a tree climber or something, but they actually provide a really important function. So they deal with the bookings, they take the pennies, and just help keep us on the straight and narrow timing-wise. Or look after the children of the climbers so that they can have a good time whilst their parents are working their socks off, getting kids up trees, basically.
Fantastic. Because you've had your daughter Willow here, haven't you?
Absolutely, every year.
Everywhere, running around wild. She is feral. It's great to see all these wild kids running around. It's fantastic. And she goes up trees, doesn't she?
Yes, she does. I think she's climbed most days. And two of our female students, Sophia and Emily, have been amazingly patient. They've helped her climb a tree most days, and of course they're now her new best friends. In fact, she has christened them my new best friends, so she's had a whale of a time. She's been rolling around in straw doing straw angels and throwing it around and running around in the woods.
And I saw her dressed as a unicorn one day.
Yes, definitely. And I think she's been a magician. She's worn a clown and a punk hairdo. I might have worn that as well. But actually, I think one of her favourite bits was probably the silent disco. She had a whale of a time at
that. I saw you guys dancing, actually. I saw her dancing at the silent disco. That was hilarious. No, it was very good. I was impressed with your dancing skills, Jess, I have to say. I'm not as impressed with the singing. I turned mine down so I listen. But you don't only send or aid children and adults that visit the festival up the trees, but you put a comedian up a tree this time, didn't you?
We did this time, yes. Mark Watson. I'm afraid to say I actually missed his set because of what I did before and needing to go home briefly. But yes, it sounds like that was quite an experience. He turned up at the time he was supposed to be in the tree doing his set.
What a diva.
Well, I tried and tried and tried to get him to meet with us beforehand to reassure us that he could actually climb a tree.
Right.
And perhaps to give him some confidence, give him an idea of where he would stand, sit, etc. mostly shake, I think, is what I gather.
A bit of planning would be a good idea, wouldn't it? When you and the, you know, the prep that you need to get the equipment on, and the instruction you need to take, a little bit of instruction when you climb a tree, don't you?
Yeah, so, I mean, we'd set the tree up, so we'd done our bit. Yeah. He rocked up and then huffed and puffed and swore his way up and down the tree. And Simon, my husband, was up there with him.
I saw him, and, actually. He was very patient, very patient.
I think he was. But this this comedian, he had a death grip on Simon's climbing kit. He would not let go of it. And actually, Simon at one point said, am I going to have to come with you to the stage set? Are you actually going to let go of me at all?
You're like a koala.
I think he was very worried, actually.
Yeah. He did it. It was funny. There was laughs. Quite a crowd and some laughs, which was great. It was great. Because a few years ago, you put a brass band up a tree, is that right?
Yeah, so the first time it happened was, I suppose it would have been 3 years ago, with the Hyde Park Brass band. And that really was the result of a bit of banter, mostly between Simon and the band as they were passing and, you know, oh, are you going to come up the tree? Are you going to do a set?
Yeah.
And then the banter turned real. And we actually, I think we had the grand sum of 20 minutes to get this nine-piece brass band up a tree.
My goodness.
And I have to say at this point that that included a sousaphone.
And what is that?
Exactly. I was going to say, for those that don't know what a sousaphone is, it is an enormous... now, I'm going to get this wrong and Sarah will probably want to murder me for this. But it's like a giant... tuba type thing.
Okay,
it's
like a big trumpety thing.
Well, yeah, but it's enormous. I mean, you have to see the video if you haven't already. It's just incredible.
Can people see that on YouTube then? Or
I think it's mostly shared on Facebook Talk and, you know, Unique Trees chat forums and various places. But it was absolutely incredible. There were a couple of trombonists. And actually, the trombone was the most worrying instrument.
Yeah.
Because it's really, really thin metal, thin brass. So it's an incredibly delicate instrument.
Wow.
So they were quite twitchy. But some of them were really sprightly.
Yeah.
Some of them were enormous and weak as kittens. So it was something of a challenge to get them up the tree, and we timed it perfectly, Faith. It was incredible. We basically, they went on after the main act on main stage on the last day.
Yeah.
So the moment the main act finished, they piped up. And of course, most people hadn't even noticed them climbing into the trees. They suddenly had this blast of Hyde Park brass. And they'd been walking around the festival for the whole weekend, so everyone was familiar with their sound, but they didn't expect to see them up three trees, so it was pretty phenomenal. No.
And then so cool.
We did it again the following year, and that was pretty good. And then the banter began between us and Deershed about needing to, you know, take it to the next level, hence Mark Watson this year.
Yeah, where will it end? What's next?
Well, I don't know. I mean, all ideas welcome. Okay. Send them through.
Okay, answers on a postcard.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good idea. Fantastic. But that's not all you've been doing this time round the Deershed, have you? So can you tell us about that? What else have you been up to?
Yeah. So for those that know me, they know I have a pretty crazy head of hair. And for those that don't, I'll try and paint a picture. So I had 4'2" long dreadlocks, 53 of them, very characterful things. Basically they were, I suppose, somewhere between my knee and my calf. So quite long, quite distinctive. Actually, I've seen a few photographs of them recently because of everything I've been up to. And just seeing them from the back, not a view I ever get to see, no. has made me realise how ridiculously long they were.
I think that's how people spot you, because I know that's all week and that's what I've been looking for. Where is she? Oh, there she is.
Well, no,
no
more. No more, yes. So yes, the reason I'm talking about them in the past tense is because yesterday at Deershed Festival, publicly, I had my own little set, I suppose you'd call it.
You did.
Where they were shaved off, basically, all of them, by my lovely husband, Simon, who did a superb job, I have to say. I think he was quite nervous about it, but he's pretty laid back, so he didn't really look into how to do it.
And he just did it. Isn't that like a man thing? They don't read the instructions.
Absolutely. I mean, of course, I bossed him around and told him how I thought it should be done.
Naturally.
And yes, I mean, I just couldn't help myself. But it went really well. So he did a superb job. And there I was sitting on a chair in front of all these people, having it live streamed on Facebook.
Yeah,
me having my my dreadlocks shaved off, and I suppose I probably ought to tell you why I would do such a thing so publicly.
I mean, you did this for a charity, didn't you? A very special charity, a charity that's very special to you and many other people. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. In August 2020, on the 27th of August 2020, my son Oaken was born. And we knew that Oaken was not going to be well. He had a condition called Edwards syndrome, also known as trisomy 18, which essentially means he had a third copy of the chromosome 18. And that's quite it's a very serious problem. For those that don't know what that means, it's similar to Down's in regards to the fact that it affects every cell in the body, because it has this third copy of the number 18 chromosome. So what that means is that he had a life-limiting condition, and he only lived for 2 days, and so we've been on a huge journey. I mean, I suppose I've more or less started with the end of it, but it began back in March 2020, on my daughter's birthday, in fact, when it became clear at my 12-week scan that there was a problem. And so we investigated the problem, we had tests, and it was confirmed that he had Edwards syndrome. And of course, at that point, we got told nothing but the negative things. So we were told that the chances of him being born alive were almost nil, that the chances of losing him in pregnancy were enormous, that even if he was born alive, he would almost certainly not survive the first year. So really doom and gloom prognosis there. For me, that was devastating. I'm an older mother, so I always knew there was a higher risk of complications. But having already had 7 miscarriages, I thought, well, this one's gone, at the point of the scan, this one had gone further than any of the others.
Yeah.
And I was beginning to feel hopeful. So the scan was devastating, and the ensuing diagnosis was devastating, but he was still there. So we were offered termination, and termination is right for some people. But I just knew in my heart that I I simply couldn't do it. He was alive, and I couldn't be the one to change that. I just couldn't do it. So I suppose I just had hope the whole time. I researched the condition. I found lots and lots and lots of positive stories about families who had children who lived happy, fulfilling lives.
Yeah.
Yes, they have challenges. Yes, they're different from most children, but some of them do really very well.
Yeah.
And even the ones that have substantial difficulties have a good quality of life. And therefore, I thought I wanted to give him that chance.
Yeah.
I hoped we would be one of the lucky ones.
Yeah.
So we proceeded with the pregnancy. We had incredible support from Leeds General Infirmary. They were amazing. But actually, the people who really, really helped throughout were Martin House.
Yeah.
So they are a children's hospice based in Boston Spa between York and Leeds. And they got in touch really early on. And I don't mind telling you, it was quite a shock to get a call from a hospice when you've only just had a diagnosis.
Right, yeah.
Was quite a strange thing. I thought, well, he hasn't even been born yet. Why?
Yeah.
But then I discovered, and it was that they have a community team, and the community team come to visit you and ask you lots and lots of deep questions and make you think about things.
Yeah.
And it's really, really difficult. But what I came to realise was that the whole point of it was to think of these things when there wasn't the pressure of needing to make a decision immediately as a snap decision.
Yeah.
And it was also about communicating our wishes to all of the medical teams involved. And there were loads of them.
Yeah.
You know, we had a very small number of priorities. We really, really, really wanted to meet him alive.
Yeah.
And I was willing to do pretty much anything to make that happen.
Yeah.
I was willing to have any delivery method that would improve the chances of that.
Yeah.
And I was willing to have any care that would enable him to be alive at birth and to keep him with us for as long as possible. But there was one huge caveat, and that was that I didn't want anything to make him suffer.
Yeah.
Anything that we did, I didn't want to prolong his life just for us. I wanted him to, however long his life was, to be as good a quality life as it could be. And Martin House helped us articulate that.
Yeah.
The team at the LGI helped us achieve that.
Yeah.
He was born. It was really touch and go for the first few hours. They thought that we were going to lose him a few times. But actually, he was a little fighter. He had character. And he had a very loving time with us in hospital at the LGI. We had him christened there. We gave him lots and lots of cuddles. My mum was able to meet him. Willow was able to meet him. She was able to dress him and love him and be a big sister, which, of course, she hadn't been able to do with any of the others. And she's a young child. She was 5 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So actually meeting her baby brother was something she could understand.
Yeah.
That's not the same for all the losses that we had.
Yeah.
So yes, the next day off we went to Martin House, where they looked after us and helped us make memories, helped us make sure he was comfortable. By then we knew we weren't going to be one of the lucky ones that might have him for years. It was very clear that his difficulties were too severe to enable him to live very long. Mm-hmm. So we just made sure he was comfortable, he was happy. We cuddled him lots and lots and lots. We did little things to help us think of him. In fact, something Sarah did was really sweet, resulted in a piece of art that's really special to us. So his baby grow, Oaken's baby grow, said, littlest Herbert.
Yeah.
Willow's t-shirt said, biggest little Herbert. And so we had this piece made with our footprints in paint. Mm. And his said, littlest Herbert. And then Willow's, we wrote, biggest little Herbert. And then mine, of course, was smallest big Herbert. And then Simon's was biggest Herbert. Which, it's just a silly thing, but it's to not, us it was lovely. Quite yeah. quite meaningful and yeah. and very much inspired by Mrs. Owen Hughes.
Absolutely.
So yes, going back to Martin House, they did things like that with us, which made fun family time.
Memories,
yeah. things that we could keep. We were able to take photographs. My brother came up from London and was able to meet Oaken and spend yeah. time with him. A small number of people were able to come and see us after he died. So mm-hmm. he died at Martin House the next day. Mm-hmm. And that was really special that in a pandemic, because we were in the family room, so it was kind of closed away from the rest of the hospice, we were able to stay there. Oaken was able to stay there.
Yeah.
And he was in a cot that had a cool gel blanket yeah. underneath it. So he kind of stayed as he was for as long as possible, as it yeah. were. And that just gave us time yeah. to say goodbye, time to be with him, time yeah. to wrap our heads around everything that had happened. And whilst we were there, Martin House just looked after us. They made yeah. sure we were eating. Mm-hmm. They were just super kind to us. They mm-hmm. helped us organise the funeral arrangements. And yeah, it's just, it's a really, really special place. Willow absolutely loved it there.
Yeah.
And then, since then, they've continued to support us yeah. with counselling. Mm-hmm. And that's been really essential. So there's been individual counselling, couples counselling, and family counselling.
Amazing.
And it's really helped us. They've been with us throughout the whole journey.
Yeah.
So we're in a pandemic. Their projected fundraising shortfall is about 2.2 million. Wow. I absolutely can't bridge that gap, but I wanted to do something.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, I thought, like everyone does, well, I could do the Three Peaks, or I yeah. could jump out of an aeroplane, or I could do something.
Yeah.
But then I thought, well, I've got these crazy long dreadlocks. You don't see those every day. Why don't I just shave them off? And so that's exactly what I did.
You did.
And yeah, I've been working for the last 6 weeks or so, fundraising, trying to raise awareness, which was the other really important yeah. thing. It's not just about the money. That's the reason I'm talking to you. I want people to not be afraid to talk about these subjects yeah. and to acknowledge them. And part of that is about an acceptance, I suppose, for yeah. families like us. Some people think we're bonkers and they're entitled to their opinion. But for us, keeping Oaken and having him as part of our family for the short time that he was really, really important.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely the right thing. Yeah. And Martin House helped us make that happen. And so I thought, well, I might be able to earn... Well, I set the target for £1,000.
You did?
Yeah, and I always hoped I would exceed that. The truth is, I was really hoping I could make 5,000. I thought that was an unrealistic expectation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been quite a ride because the BBC caught hold of the story, so I sent them a press release, and the next thing I knew, within the hour, a reporter was on the phone wanting to write an article.
Yeah.
And that transformed donations immediately. And then I posted a family album to Michael Ball's Radio 2 show.
Yeah.
And he played it straight away within the week. And I didn't even know he was going to do it. I just happened to hear it on the radio.
Wow.
And wow, that was quite a thrill. But mind you, we did spend much of the rest of the day crying, to be honest. But it completely transformed the fundraising. We earned thousands through it.
Yeah.
And then he interviewed me last Sunday.
He did.
On the show. I think we'd raised £14,000 at that point.
Yeah.
And within a couple of days, we were heading towards 20.
Wow.
And now, here we are, a week later.
Yeah.
We're at around £22,000 raised for Martin House, which...
That is staggering.
It's exceeded anything I ever dared hope for.
Yeah.
And the awareness that it's created has been incredible, having... famous people like Michael Ball talking about hospices and the important work that they do, and people just being interested. The BBC local news came down and filmed the whole thing yesterday and took some photographs, and it was just...
You were on the TV.
You were
on the TV.
On the news, yes. And not because I'd been arrested or anything.
No. But, you know, that's going to draw great comfort to other families, isn't it? It's, the awareness is just unbelievable, because not just for people that might perhaps be going through a similar experience, or people that have gone through a similar experience, but people that might... happen to in the future go through a similar experience, won't
absolutely
it?
Absolutely. And the comments that people have written when they've made their donations, a lot of the comments are anonymous, and sometimes people don't leave a comment, but those that do, whether they're anonymous or from somebody I know or somebody I don't know, my goodness, they've just... Many of them have been really arresting, beautiful words that people have written, and just such kindness and generosity from people at a time when people don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily easy for everyone to dig into their pockets, but we've had donations of £2 on the Just Giving page all the way to £250. From people I don't know.
How can people donate then? How do they do that?
That's a really good question, Faith. Thank you. I nearly forgot to say the important bit.
We can still do that, right? We can still donate, yeah?
Yes, you can, you can. People can, at the moment, literally just stick my name into a search engine, Jessica Herbert, and it pops up. The Just Giving page comes up. The BBC article comes up, so it's really quite easy to read about what we've been through and why it's so important for Martin House to receive people's generosity. So you can just put my name into a search engine and follow the links, in a nutshell.
Fantastic. Okay, so personally, you're my friend. I think you are so courageous and inspiring, and yeah, I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. I'm gonna cry now.
Well, that's it. Thanks for listening. That's been another edition of Trials and Tribulations. Now, if you liked it, please subscribe and follow. But until next time, keep it green.